What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bare Knuckles Most Wanted podcast. I'm Matthew Kohler. I'm your host for the evening. And then, of course, you have my partner in crime, Matt Siebel, and our distinguished guest, one of my heroes, actually, the most dangerous man alive, Ken Shamrock, is joining us this evening. Mr. Shamrock, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, I couldn't be better. This is like a kind of a really cool thing for me to get to hang out with you. So I appreciate you gracing us with your presence. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So should I call you Ken? Should I call you Mr. Shamrock? Should I call you Mr. Most Dangerous Man Alive? Like, how do I address you respectfully?
Yeah. Just call me Ken. Yeah.
Okay. So what's been going on, man?
Just having fun, enjoying the time that we have. You know, it seems like the world stopped for a little while there, and it seems like we're starting to get our legs back under us. So I'm starting to enjoy the fresh air a little bit, enjoy being around and seeing things and being a part of events now. So it's refreshing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So we've been following you and seeing that, you know, watching some of the things that you've been posting, some of the things that you've been doing. And it looks to me like there's some pretty exciting stuff going on with Valor Bare Knuckles. What can you tell us about what's going on with you guys right now?
Well, yeah, we do have some exciting stuff coming. COVID kind of took the wind out of us a little bit. I've always been a huge fan of having fans and fans participating and having fans in the audience. And it's something that it really hurt me in wrestling, because I was working with Impact and it just was something missing because it wasn't a fan base. And then Valor, when we just launched our first one, started to do our second one, and we got hit with this COVID thing and just felt like, man, we needed to try to start doing something other than the fights without the fans, you know. Wanted to try to figure out a way we could actually do this by building up some social presence on the internet, keeping ourselves out there until we have the opportunity to get back out there and bring fans into the building. And so that's what we've been up to. Thank God. Yeah. Now we get to have fans in the building. And so we've been making a lot of big moves since we weren't doing anything. We were really building our structure, going out and finding the right people to be involved in on a board, in our actual inner circle. So we've done a lot of good things to build the structure and the foundation of Valor to make it a business that's not a show by show, you know, hang on to seat of your pants to see whether we're going to make it to the next one. We built it from a business structure. And I believe that we're in the process right now of also building a structure for people to be even to pay with the cryptocurrency. So this is a real, it's a real business. We built this thing to be a real business and one to be around for a long time.
Very cool. So what was the inspiration? I know that you guys you had an event and then COVID hit. You know, and then everything, and just like everything else in the world, everything shut down. But before that, you know, no one could have predicted that was going to happen, right? You know, I never in a million years would have thought that, that we would have experienced something like that. But we did, right? But prior to all that, in the pre-COVID world, What was really the inspiration for you to start your own bare knuckle organization? What drove you to do that? What was the driving force there?
Yeah, it's kind of part of the vision I had too. Is when I first started fighting back way in the 90s, 89, 88, 89, 90 over in Japan, got the experience, the open hand striking and the submissions. Then UFC came around after I became champion in Japan. UFC came around, and that was another level. This was no holds barred, bare knuckle, anything goes. So I jumped into that, and I found another level of just this thrill of just like purity, striking, submissions. You know, you're in charge of whether you win or lose, and there's no judges and no scorecard and no referee, and you step in there and it's just you and the other guy, and it's just bare knuckle purity, you know. And I just fell in love with that. I just felt like that was so pure. It was so real. And of course, you know, as guys started breaking their hands and injuries and things of that nature, not to the guys that were getting hit, but the guys that were doing the hitting, they came in and started putting gloves on them because they're trying to protect the commodity, guys that are winning.
Right.
And so they sold it the other way. It was, oh, we want to protect the fighters, we're going to put gloves on them. And the reality of it is, it was the opposite of that. They wanted to protect the guys that were winning. They could care less the guys that were getting knocked out, whether they got hurt or not.
Right.
They just wanted to keep the guys that were winning. They could come back and fight the next fight. And so that's when the gloves came in. And that's when it took away the purity of fighting in my mind. Even though I still loved it, it's still very, very, very difficult. But it did take away that purity of fighting, because when you put an ankle lock on somebody, you were going to get it 90% of the time. But with the gloves on, because it was so big, trying to hook a heel, it's so much bigger, it's hard to hook that heel. And so you find yourself not being successful at a lot of different submissions because of the big glove. Even rear naked chokes, because the glove is so big, it's hard to lace that arm in and out to get a choke on because guys can grab it. So it just took away that purity. And even striking, when you think about the striking part of it, guys got rewarded for throwing haymakers and landing and hitting behind the ear, and a guy would go down, the guy would get rewarded for a knockout. Well, if you take that glove off, he may knock the guy out, but he's not coming back to fight again the next fight because he broke his hand. So right. it started to reward guys for being sloppy and not very accurate. And I just told myself, if I ever got the chance to bring back that purity of fighting where guys get rewarded for being good, for having God-given talent, and not the other way around, I would do that. And that's why I came out with Valor Bare Knuckle. I thought it would be, once I started seeing all this other stuff going on out there, I was like, okay, let's do this now, and let's do it right. Let's bring back bare knuckle in its purest form, and clean, not dirty and nasty and all that. We want it to be clean bare knuckle boxing.
Absolutely. And I think, and you tell me if you agree with this, but I think that bare knuckle has the potential to draw a whole, like maybe a bigger audience than even MMA did, you know, because it is at the end of the day, it's a fist fight, man, you know, and I think that, you know, your average casual fan maybe doesn't understand all the technical aspects of grappling, you know.
It slows it down too. If you look at it to a sense, you know, in the earlier days, you could see a fight come to an end, because it take a guy down, somebody had the skills to be able to finish the fight. You had a striker, a grappler. So you got to see finishes. But as we see the sport evolve, it's tough to see a finish now, especially when you get those guys at that top level. They're all jousting, and most of the time it stays on the feet until someone gets a takedown, and then they're there for about 30 seconds. They're back on their feet again because they're so good now, right? So it's like the defenses are getting so good that you're seeing a lot of fights go to the decisions. And it's so close a lot of times where there's always a, well, I thought he should have won. Oh, I thought he should have won. So Valor bare knuckle, or any bare knuckle for that fact, is very quick. It's fast because when you land a jab or an uppercut or a hook, if you hit the right spot, which is the soft tissue, the nose or the chin, they're going to go down. And if they don't go down, you're going to hurt them. Therefore, you're able to come in and finish them. So if you're watching all these bare knuckle fights, you're seeing they're very fast and there's a lot of action.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I became a fan of this sport. Of course, I've been a combat sports fan my entire life. But I became a fan of bare knuckle in particular because I watched a bare knuckle event back in 2018. And one of my good friends happened to be fighting in the event. Sam the Hillbilly Hammer Shoemaker. I'm now his business manager. And so I love that guy. But I watched that event. I watched Sam knock out Eric Prindle with a one-punch knockout. And it was incredible. And from that moment on, and not just that fight, all the fights in every organization that I've watched, all of them have just been so entertaining. And it to me is the coolest sport I have ever freaking seen. And I'm so excited about where it's going to go. And obviously we know that it's, you know, the fastest growing sport in the world right now. So where do you see this thing going? Like, how big can it get?
Well, again, I've been a part of a lot of the beginnings of when it was no holds barred, and then it got gloves put on and sanctioning and, you know, the whole gambit. And it seems like they're starting to get stagnant. And I think, you know, every 10 to 20 years, you start seeing something new. And I truly believe this is so old, but it's new. Bare knuckle's been around since the beginning of combat sports.
Yeah.
But now, because it's been so long since anybody's really ever seen it, it's coming back. And I think the reason why it's coming back is because I think that now we have an understanding of the safety. It's not more dangerous as people may think, as opposed to wearing a glove or not wearing a glove. So we're able to prove a lot of these things through, you know, medical experience, through what we've already seen through the times, that bare knuckle is not that dangerous. Yes, it looks more visually dangerous, but as far as long-term damage, it's not. So because of that, I think now the opportunity for bare knuckle to literally go above mixed martial arts because of the purity and the God-given talent of the fighters, and because the fights are very quick and they're very exciting. So I see this going to the next level and taking over to combat sports.
I could not agree more. I think it's the next big thing, not just in combat sports, but in the sports world, period. I really, really believe that.
I had a quick question.
Yeah,
also.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, sorry, just jump in here, but, your ring is very unique. Where did that come from, and how did you design that?
Actually, the idea came up was when I wanted to come up with something that was I remember. Let me go back. When I first walked in and I saw the actual cage at the UFC in the very first fight, UFC fight, I was like, wow. Wow. Like, this thing set the stage for what we were about to see.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting just sitting there watching that thing sit in the middle of this arena and anticipation of what was going to happen inside of it. So when I came in and said I'm going to start bare knuckle and that I was going to bring bare knuckle into the mainstream, I had to have an idea of being able to change what people were used to seeing, you know, that we had to kind of clean it up a little bit. Sanction it, get it to where we can get it accepted. And so I thought to myself, let's figure out how we can separate ourselves from everything else going on out there, boxing and MMA, and that we're our own entity, we're our own vision. And so I started thinking about it. And I the one thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about how to put this thing together was, I remember when people were talking about the fights, and the one thing they've always said, whether it was boxing or whether it was MMA, that when they buy those seats on the floor, it felt like they were all disappointed because they didn't get a very good view. It seemed like they were always trying to look through the cage or look around the ropes. Yeah. And because they bought those tickets on the floor, it was almost like they got ripped off because they couldn't see most of the time. And I thought to myself, how do we make those seats valuable? And I said, you know what? Why don't we And of course, just taking the ropes off and the cage off is not enough. You got to be able to set it up to where you know that guys are not going to be flying out of the bout circle into the audience. So I felt like adding that little slant to it that had more of a softer surface to it gave the fighters an understanding about where they were at when they started getting near the edge there. Their foot would sink into the soft padding and they would realize they were getting to that edge. So they had to work their way back in. So that was kind of the idea, was I wanted to be more visually friendly for the fan base, people at home watching it on TV and people sitting there in the audience watching it live. There's nothing like it when you're sitting on the floor and you literally, it's nothing in between you and the fighters when you're watching them fight each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've noticed that. And I think it's super, super interesting in the way that the ring is set up. And the rule said even it forces them to stay in, you know, in the circle and constantly compete. There's no running, right?
Well, you got to think of that this. I don't know too many guys that have taken a decision to fight. And we're not looking for just anybody. We're looking for guys that are quality fighters, quality boxers, quality MMA fighters, or just tough guys that want to come off the street and show what they got. We're looking for that kind of, but what we're not looking for is guys that don't want to fight. And so when people go, well, how are you going to keep them in the center? And I'm like, since when did you ever have to keep me in the center to fight? When did you have to keep any fighter in the center of the fight? Exactly. If we've got to start keeping guys in the middle of the center to fight, they're in the wrong business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of that, one question I've had is, have you followed any of the other bare knuckle organizations? Have you been following those folks?
And their fighters.
Yes, specifically their fighters. Are there any fighters that you've been particularly impressed by?
Well, you know, right now I'm in that industry. And so you got to kind of watch everybody and see what everybody's doing. One of the things I did was that when I was going to do this and I built the team around me, I wanted to see what everybody else is doing. I know everybody was like, come on, we got to get out there. We got to do it first. And I was like, hold, slow your roll. Let's just see how everything plays out. Let's watch it for a little while. Let's see how it works. Let's see what works, what don't work. Let's see what the commission's going to allow and not allow. And so we kind of just backed up and kind of watched for a while. And we started looking at the other organizations and seeing what they were doing well and then what they weren't doing well. And then we started implementing things into our plan and started moving forward and started into our first show. But we did. We looked around. We kind of understood the playing field, as you would say, understood what we wanted to be moving forward, how we wanted to look moving forward. And so that's kind of what we did, was we just basically looked around and saw the things we liked, we didn't like, and we just started moving forward. As far as fighters, there's a lot of guys out there that we've talked to that are champions in other organizations or former champions in other organizations that I think that we could use. It just like I'm sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that guys that we're using are going to be fighting in other organizations. The one thing I hate is when somebody goes, oh, you fight for us. You can't fight for anybody else. I was like, hold up, man. These guys are fighters. And unless you're going to give them a salary, a yearly salary, then you can't hold them. You can't tell them they can't go somewhere. Now, if they're carrying your strap, that's a different story. Okay. You got to protect your belt.
Yeah.
So I get that. But as far as fighters that want to come and fight for us or for anybody else, man, the industry and the world that we live in right now is, you know, it's pretty open and it should stay open.
I totally agree. I couldn't, that's actually, as a manager, that's music to my ears. <You know? laughs> So
absolutely.
I love to hear that. So one other thing I'm curious about, because again, for me, some of my favorite fights to actually watch have been women's fights. So yeah. Do you have any plans going forward for a women's division in Valor?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've always been a big fan of women. I love it. They're very competitive and they come in with a lot of intensity. So absolutely. I know that there's a girl that I actually trained, which is Paige Van Zandt. And she's been doing some bare knuckle, and I'm very happy for her. She's out there showing her stuff and enjoying herself. And so I'm very happy for her. And I'm glad that she went from MMA into that. So we're definitely open to women's and women's fighting. It's just that we're not going to force it. If we get the right fight, we'll put it on. But if we don't, we're not just going to throw, because Valor is a different, we're different. We're only putting on high quality fights and guys that can fight at a very high level.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I've seen the fights, and there've been a couple of guys that fought for Valor that have come over to other organizations, and I've been very impressed by them. You take a look at a guy like Mike Richmond, extremely impressive guy. And I'm excited to see what he does in his future, but there are a number of fighters that you could say the same thing about. So, I've definitely been very impressed with what you've done. So I want to take a couple of comments or a couple of questions from the comments. We want to respect our viewers and not totally ignore them. I'm being selfish because all these questions that I want to ask, but, like one really common question that we've gotten, not just in the chat right now, but since we've been leading up to this, is do you personally have across every organization that you fought for and every style that you fought for, do you have a particular favorite fight of yours in your own career that you can recall?
Yeah, I think that if people understand my career, I think my very first fight, I was number 4 on the card, and that was over in Japan. And then ever since then, I was main event or semi-main event. I had rose to the top very quickly, and I was fighting the number one contenders for, 15 years. So it's hard to say when you're looking at styles and fights that I've been involved with. I fought all the best in the world. And I've won early in my career. I won them all. I mean, I was the best fighter in the world. So, I mean, I fought everybody, but it's hard to say any one particular fight was more outstanding than the other, but I will say one that's a favorite to me is, when I was able to win the first championship, was a 2-day tournament over in Pancras. And I was able to capture that for that title, the very first title, in the Pancras organization. And then of course the UFC, when I defeated Dan Severn, all the odds were against me, and I'd come over from Pancras. I stepped into the UFC. I lost my fight to Hoist. I came back. I redeemed myself, even though I didn't win. I beat the crap out of him. And, but I got in there against Dan, and he was destroying everybody, and I ended up beating him, and that put me where I needed to be. And I would say those two right there really separated me over in Japan as the best. And then here in the U.S., when I defeated Dan Severn after beating up Hoist Gracie for 36 minutes, put me at that point where I was the best.
Absolutely. I think there are very few people who would argue with you on that. I mean, I think that it's pretty much undeniable. Your career has been legendary. You've done so many cool things. And again, it's an honor to talk to you.
One of our other hosts has not been able to come on. His name's David. He had a quick question about what separates Valor from the other organizations. What is the big difference thing?
Yeah, well, one is there's no cage and no ropes. There's a bout circle. The white surface is the fighting surface, and the fighters have to stay in that circle. And because we don't have the rings, the ropes or the cage, it forces them to have to stay in the middle because they can't back up and lay on a rope or pivot off a rope because there's nothing to back up into to pivot off of. So they have to stay in the center, and they've got to use their footwork to fight. The next thing is we don't allow any clinching. When you get into that tight spot, you're not allowed to grab the head. You're not allowed to grab the arm because there's no gloves. So if you're allowing them to be able to reach up and grab somebody and then continue to punch, that's grappling. That's not boxing. That's not bare knuckle fighting. And so we want to try to keep it as pure as possible and keep the action moving as fast as possible. So by not allowing them to clinch or hold or grab, they have to fight out of that body-to-body position, not grab. So that makes the fight even faster too, when you don't allow them to grab you and hold on, because you see a lot of that going on when someone gets clipped. They'll grab them immediately and hold on to them. That don't happen in us. If you grab, you'll get docked a point, and there's only three rounds, and you lose a point, you're losing a round, you're in trouble. So it forces the action, it forces the fight. And I think as you see in time, as it goes on, you'll start seeing that what we're doing and the rules we're implementing will be probably ones that they will probably sanction, because it is just this. It is taking the boxing gloves off, and it's putting boxing and MMA fighters in a bout circle, and they're fighting with boxing rules, except there's no gloves, no ropes, and no cages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that one question that's been on the mind of a lot of people too, is there any chance that we will see you in a bare knuckle bout at some point in the future?
We'll just leave that question open. How's that?
Okay.
There was somebody in the chat asking about you and Shannon Rich, I think. So.
Yeah. Listen, if I'm fighting somebody, and Shannon, I love Shannon, he's a great guy, but listen, if I'm fighting somebody, it'll be somebody like Mike Tyson.
Oh,
shit. Tito Ortiz. Yeah. Hoist Gracie or Dan Severn?
Oh, man. Legends.
But I don't want to mention any names, though. So,
listen, I would pay to see any of those, sir. I will just say that right now. I think a lot of people.
Yeah,
No, listen, I love all those guys, man. I really do. And I'm just poking at them. But I'm always a fighter, just as those guys are, too. They're all fighters. And none of us would back down when someone asks if you're going to fight, you know, even though we're so far out of being in the inside of a bout circle or a cage or a rope. But we still have the mentality to want to.
Right. Do you think that mentality of being a fighter ever leaves a person if it's in you?
I think some it does, but for some of us who probably have born just being that kind of person, it doesn't ever leave.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. You know, sometimes for me in particular, the drive and the desire is there, but sometimes your body doesn't allow you to do what your mind wants to. So,
right.
And you got to know your limits. So I know that, but I'm not you. So, I would never, never suggest that I was on that level, but yeah.
Well, I seen you were at Jacksonville recently, talking with the mayor up there. Have you locked that down as a location possibly of the next event, or do you have like a venue in mind? Or
listen, you know, we got a couple of venues we're working on. They look really good right now. We're in the process of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. So I would say probably the next 2 weeks we'll probably have at least a opportunity to announce a place. So, but again, we're doing it and it's coming. So we just got to make sure we get it all done before we prematurely say anything.
Absolutely. Gotcha. Well, when you're ready to announce it, would you be willing to come back on and chat with us again?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That would be awesome. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you want to say about Valor, about anything that you've got going on? What do you want people to hear about?
Yeah, just that, you know, I know that Valor kind of slowed us down, and a lot of people were asking why didn't we do fights? How come we're not doing this? We thought about it. We really did. We thought about going ahead and putting shows on and doing it without the fans. We were a couple times we were just really close to going ahead and doing it. But it's just something wasn't right. And a lot of it had to do with me, I think. I think I have been a huge fan of fans. It's not the same having a fight or a wrestling match or any kind of entertainment without having the fans there live. It's just, they are so important to the excitement of whatever the entertainment that's going on is when it's live. And so for them, I hope they understand why we had moved so fast and why we slowed down. And I really, really look forward to seeing them come out there and support Valor, because I really, truly want to entertain the fans. I want them to see exciting fights and exciting action. And that is my goal for Valor, is to put on the best fights we possibly can.
That's awesome. Well,
I have talked with, we did a show back with Mark Godbear, and he said he had nothing but respect for you and your organization. And, you know, when COVID hit, you let him out of the contract. It was just, everybody you surround yourself with good in his eyes, he says. So.
Yeah, Mark's a great champion. You know, he's a deserved champion. He works hard. And so we really love Mark, and we're happy for him. And this is one thing you guys will find out, just like I said earlier, we are not Gestapos. We're not going to be trying to control people's careers. You know, we want people to come fight for us because they want to fight for us. And therefore, our doors are open. And if they win and they do well here, we want to make sure that they're comfortable here. And if they want to go somewhere else and fight, we want to help support them do that also, because we truly believe that our organization will speak for itself. We're not going to have to handcuff anybody to stay in our organization.
That's
I love that. That's definitely I think that's definitely the fighter in you coming out at, you know, in your CEO role. So.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for that, you know, because you've been there, you've done that. You've been in these people's shoes, you know, you've experienced what they're experiencing. You've been the guy that had a dream, you know? And so I think that there's a ton of value in that. And I could definitely see how a lot of the fighters would appreciate your point of view, because you've been that guy. You've been that guy for your entire career. So to me, that's huge. You know, there are a number of organizations out there that do, you know, they find a talented guy or a talented girl, and they just want to really hold on to that because it's almost like they're losing something. But at the end of the day, you know what, if you take care of your people and you do right by people, you don't have to hold them in some kind of a contract. They're going to come back because, like you said, because they want to, right?
Well, and first of all, too, look at it this way. If I have people come into my organization and they're fighting and they win, and then they say, hey, I'm not going to be fighting for another 6 months. We don't got anything lined up for them. And they say, hey, I want to go fight over at this place over here. And we're like, yeah, go ahead. So when they go to fight at this next place, guess what's going to happen? They're going to announce that they fought, their last fight was in Valor BK. In other words, we're getting advertisement inside another organization because we're allowing them to go fight other places. When they're doing well for us, we don't mind if they go fight somewhere else. We have no problem with that because we're going to get acknowledgement for them being there because they fought for us and won for us.
Exactly.
100%.
No doubt about it. That's very smart business. I love it. I love it. And I love the thought behind it. So Matt, do you have anything else?
Not really. I appreciate you coming on our show. It was a little tough getting you on here, but I do want to say I am down in Orlando. So if Jacksonville happens, I need media credentials. And I'm there for you wherever you need me.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. And look forward to that. I don't know what date that's going to be yet, but I know that we're working on with them as we speak. We're working with them trying to lock down some good dates for us. We've got a couple other places that we're locking down as we speak also. And so we look forward to the next couple of weeks of really having some excitement and some exciting news for the fans to be able to lock onto. So valorbk.com, come check out our website so you guys can stay following us and understanding what it is that we're doing and be able to listen for when our next event will be happening.
And Ken, absolutely. I know you also have your own podcast. Where do they find that at?
Yeah, it's the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. You can go on Roku, all of them. We're on all of them. So, okay. But you can actually go onto my website and you can click onto it, World's Most Dangerous Podcast, and it'll give you a link to click onto it. Well, KenShamrock.com is my website.
Awesome. Hey, And if you're ever looking for some quality bare knuckle fighters to bring onto your podcast, holler at your boy, because I've got a couple of fighters that I'm working with that are like the best out there, period.
Well, we'll definitely hook that up. But what we're going to do is use that podcast to be able to anybody that's fighting on Valor, we're bringing them on and we're going to talk to them and try to give all of them some time on a podcast so they're able to talk about their career, where they came from, how they got to where they're at. So we'll have a lot of spots open for guys. If they're fighting on our podcast or if they're fighting on our show, we're going to get them on our podcast.
We'll send them our way too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love to interview any of your fighters and give them an opportunity to speak.
Love to. Absolutely.
All right. Well, sir, it's been an absolute honor and pleasure. And, you know, I will remember this probably for my whole life. So thank you so much for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, the most dangerous man alive, Ken Shamrock, right here on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Hey, appreciate you.
All right. So I know it's getting late, so I guess we're ending the show.
I guess so.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You want to take it out?
Yeah, man. Again, just thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We had freaking Ken Shamrock on the show. I mean, that's pretty much amazing. I'm kind of speechless, but it's kind of going to be kind of hard to top that. But man, that was a lot of fun. I think that he has a lot of really good points. I think that he has really thought this through, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do, you know? And the way I see it is obviously fighter that I can publicly acknowledge. I do have another exciting announcement you guys better listen for, because I've got another very, very talented fighter that I am now working with. I can't announce it publicly yet, but another top world ranked fighter.
We've got a few announcements that are coming up very shortly.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's some cool stuff. So it's all around the management business. So I'm obviously, people know I'm working with Sam, but I'm also working with another. There you go. But it's not Ken Shamrock. We're not signing him.
I had to break out my old Lion Den shirt.
All right.
It's a little tight, but.
But I am going to say that I am working with one of the top bare knuckle fighters in the world that's not Sam also. And so we are going to be announcing that soon. And also something else that's kind of cool in my management career and maybe some other people involved that we might be announcing soon as well. So very, very exciting. But stay tuned for all of that news, because it is going to be coming here in the next, I would say in the next couple weeks, where we'll be making an announcement about some very cool things going on in the world of management that specifically surrounds me, kind of. You know what? Hey, we're making freaking big moves. You know what? We're going to do some cool stuff, and we're going to lift up some of these fighters that really, really deserve it, and do some cool things and help some people develop their careers and make some money. So that's the goal, and to do right by people and do good business, right? So do good business. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to be telling you guys all about it here coming up very, very quickly. So stay tuned to Bare Knuckles Most Wanted for all of those announcements. And very soon we'll have announcements on more shows also. So again, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to us talk with the legend and the most dangerous man alive, Ken Shamrock. So I will leave it at that, and we will see you guys on the next one.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.